Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Average Joe's Podcast.
We can play dodgeball.
The official podcast of the NCDA.
You want to know what's that? Six grown men playing dodgeball.
From previewing games to talking about the issues, we've got you covered.
Like with those freaks over there in Loser Town, huh?
Now for the stars of our show. Here's your hosts, Zach Newton and Alex Heichelbeck.
Welcome back, everybody. Episode 17.
17.
Boy, we are just trucking right along. Episode 17 of Average Joe's Podcast. You might notice a little bit less inappropriate humor in today's episode because the voice of college dodgeball, Zach Newton, is out with, herpes?
Something like that.
Some kind of incurable disease he'll never be able to drop. But he's not here, so you'll notice that this one is going to be a lot lighter in Tom Brady hate letters. There might not be a single F word in this if we can help it. But to Zach Newton, best of luck to you. Get rested. Stop smoking and drinking so much. And get back to health so we can have you back here. This episode is going to be a little different than some of the other ones. You're going to, like I said before, Zach's gone. You're going to hear from myself, Alex Heichelbeck, and
Felix Peroni.
Of course, Felix Peroni. It's just the two of us. We can make it, you and I.
Yeah, we're just going to... It's going to be more information-based than comedy-based, which I think the league needs right now because we're at a kind of...
Yeah. I feel like we owe an actual apology to the collegiate dodgeball community. I feel like what started out as a pretty legitimate podcast kind of turned into an excuse for us to kind of get on here and shuck around for a little while. So I think we're going to try to get back to what it was when we started and focus more on information around the league, especially, like Felix said... in light of some recent goings-on. But as always, the first thing that we're going to start off with is kind of an, I guess, an outline of the recent games in college dodgeball. A recap, as it were. So what games are we going to be recapping today, Felix?
Well, since the last podcast that we did, there have been several games. We had Eastern Michigan at Kent State. There was the Michigan State invite. Western Kentucky played University of Louisville.
Go Tops.
Eastern Michigan played at Saginaw Valley, Kent State at Ohio State, Grand Valley, and Saginaw Valley. That was a big game. Battle of the Valleys.
We'll talk about that one. The Clash of the Valleys is always a big one.
Then we had the Saginaw Valley invite, which had Central Michigan and Michigan State in it. And then we're going to end with the Kentucky Dodgeball Cup.
Which is obviously the most important.
I mean,
everyone here wants the Kentucky Dodgeball Cup. I don't know. Did you put up pictures of the trophy on the forum anywhere?
I did. Oh, not on the forum. They're on my Facebook page.
Oh, well, check out Felix Peroni's Facebook page because it is a fine trophy.
It is.
It puts the Heisman to shame. it was very good. But I think we had a blast.
There was one game that I overlooked. Sorry about that. It's the Michigan State at Eastern Michigan. There wasn't much information about that, but we'll kind of give you a little recap about that.
We'll talk about that one. But and so we'll get to talking about those. But I feel like... The Kentucky Dodgeball Cup was maybe one of the most efficient tournaments I think I've ever been to. It was kind of just like a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Everyone showed up. We ran through the games. I don't think we were too far behind schedule. There was some beeping noise. We'll just ignore that.
Sorry about that, guys.
Oh, cell phone. I need to turn that off.
Yeah.
So we're going to have those recaps. And then basically the second half of the podcast is going to be one giant issues portion, because we've got a lot of stuff to go over there. So what kind of things are we even talking about for some issues?
Well, starting back early on this month, or last month rather, there was kind of discussions on the message board about whether the opening rush was getting too violent. And so we're going to discuss that, and then the fact that some players don't know the rules. And since the rule book is getting way more legitimized than it has ever been in the future, or in the past, we're going to kind of talk about how referees and players and coaches, they all need to know about the rules.
Yeah, and we need to make sure that everyone knows the same rules.
Yeah.
And while we're on the topic of rules, we have a giant shout-out to a new college dodgeball celebrity.
Zygmunt Maloney from DePaul University, or the Zygmeister, as he likes to be called.
I've never heard that one before.
But we just want to thank him a lot. He's done so much in changing the rule book. Not changing it, but kind of... He's been at the forefront of editing the rule book and making sure that everyone has a copy of it. And he took this thing gung-ho and just, I don't know, he's just a great guy.
How big is the rule book now?
I think it's up to 27 pages.
Ooh. So, I think that's something, I would assume that the copy, it's available on the website?
Yes.
That's probably something that whenever anyone joins the team or for anyone on your team, send it to them through Facebook, email it, and have them read it. It doesn't mean you have to give them like a multiple choice quiz or something ridiculous like that. I just feel like every time we play a game, you have to have both teams get together and be like, all right, well, what rule do you all play by on, you know, the opening rush? Is stripping allowed? And you're like, well, no, read the rule book. And they're like, there's a rule book? huge shout out to Zygmus Maloney, a first name even more ridiculous than my last name, which makes me happy. Big shout out to him for fixing the rule book. He made a really good point, and he said that I think Felix thanked him for it, and he basically said that having a complete rule book was more than enough thanks.
Yeah.
So big, but regardless, big shout out to him.
Good job.
Thanks for your help. That was something that we needed. What else are we going to be talking about in addition to kind of officiating in the rules?
For those of you who are avid forum participants, I guess I don't really know what I was going for there, but those of you who pay attention to the forum, you've kind of noticed how there's been there was an uproar about 2 weeks ago regarding the banning of a user. We're not going to go into specifics on who it was.
As much as we would like to.
But this was just kind of something that I felt like we should cover. It was a big deal. This really was almost a turning point in the league, and it kind of almost led to what I felt was like the demise of the league. Just it sent such bad blood between teams and players that I was worried that the league would not continue.
Yeah, and that's going to be probably the biggest focus of our issue section today. We kind of talked about it before when we kind of talked about legitimizing the sport a little bit. This is going to be more about keeping this thing grounded in reality and not having it turn into some kind of terrible violent rivalry.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that. One big effect, I guess, of the banning of a user, this banning of a user kind of led to, I guess, the death of a champion.
Yeah.
What happened, Felix?
On Saturday, December 11th,
yep.
Alex Bomas sent out his resignation letter saying that he is stepping down from the world of college dodgeball to continue on with his life. I'll read his resignation letter that he sent to all the captains. But, I mean, it was supposed to be effective January 1st that he was kind of quitting, but he threw in the towel a little bit early. On Monday morning, he deleted his account with the forum, if you notice, that all of his posts are gone. Raymer does have a copy of all of the posts that he'd made, just in case there is some vital information. But Bomas is gone. After 7 years in the league, Bomas is thrown in the
towel.
For
some people that might not know exactly what we're talking about, Alex Bomas is kind of the grandfather, in a lot of ways, of the NCDA. He helped put a lot of it together. And for the last couple of years, he's been serving, I guess, as the official, unofficial commissioner for the league. So that's a pretty big shot to the league as well. And I know one of the big things on the forum that we're going to kind of talk about is what we're going to do about finding a new commissioner, because you've got to have someone in charge. So I think there's going to be a vote on that here in just a little while.
We'll
talk about that a little
bit. We'll get into that. And then also, we'll kind of end with the current rankings and standings of the teams as of today, December 15th, and how we're looking at ending the fall semester. Yeah.
And in with the rankings and the standings, because one of the things that I didn't even know about until Felix here explained it to me, is how the point system's going this year for the rankings. So we'll kind of outline that, give you all the rankings, and then you won't have to listen to us anymore.
Yeah, so
until the next episode.
Yeah, of course.
We'll be able to go on forever.
This is going to be a long one, guys, so strap in and
get some coffee.
Yeah. It's not going to be as upbeat and controversial as normal, but
we're
still going to have a good time.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. So coming up next, we've got the recap, so let's get right into it. This is Average Joe's Podcast.
We're out.
Did you know Average Joe's is the place where Steve the Pirate gets all his game recaps from?
Yeah. Joe's be the only place for Steve.
All right. It is time for everyone's favorite section. We're going to recap kind of what's been going on. We have we kind of said in the intro, we have a lot of games to recap. So stick with us for some of these, because this is going to be kind of your example, if you're not on the forums a whole lot, to kind of hear what's going on in the league, what teams to look out for, how the matchups are going, and this will kind of put into perspective what we're going to give you at the end in the form of the, I guess, the power rankings that we've got going now. So what was our first game?
First game was on Sunday, November 7th. It was Eastern Michigan at Kent State. Or maybe it was Kent State at Eastern
Michigan. It says Eastern Michigan at Kent State.
All right, Eastern Michigan at Kent State. Here we go.
So that one finished. How did that one finish?
Kent State ends up winning that 3-0.
All right.
Kent State, they graciously provided us with a write-up of the game. If you guys would like to contribute, we will read your write-ups on the air.
Yes, please do. There's a couple of teams where every time you play a game, we get the score and then nothing else.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to get a little bit of like how the game went, but you know, just something to think about.
Yep.
So what'd they have to say?
Here's Kate Fitz's write-up of the game. With the exception of the DePaul Open Hat Tournament, Kent State started off this year with a home game against Eastern Michigan University. It was our first home game in at least 2 years and went fairly smoothly. We had never played Eastern before and wasn't really sure what to expect. First off, I was impressed how many players Eastern Michigan was able to bring for the commute. It must have been at least 25, if not 30. We had to decide ahead of time whether to ignore the player caps so both teams could give the new player experience. At the beginning, the first point, Eastern Michigan came out dominating, whether it's down to 5 or 6 players. I'm going to stop for a second. However, to do some clutch catches by some second-year players, we were able to battle our way back to take the point. By the second point, Kent was beginning to settle on the court and began to establish their own playing style, which one Eastern Michigan player described as going cowboy, meaning there are no positions, there are no pre-constructed strategies, just going out and play the game. We were the dominating force for the second game in the half, but just couldn't close it out. The remaining points were very close, and at this time could have gone either team's way. Evaluating the overall play of both teams, I would like to go ahead and say that Eastern Michigan maintained the ball control throughout all the points and played some very smart dodgeball. I think that they speed up their gameplay, develop some fundamental skills some more, and add a touch of recklessness, they will be a very competitive team. After that match, we played some Kent State dodgeball, mixing up the teams and just had a blast. After that, most of the EMU players embarked on their journey back home, but the Lucky Five spent the night in Kent and did a successful job of running the college hometown, creating some interesting events that I'm not going to go ahead and say because this is a club sport, and we do not condone such acts as drinking.
Yeah, that doesn't happen on our clock.
Nope.
At the same time, we had a nice post on the forum, and I noticed this is something that Eastern Michigan does every time. That was close. Eastern Michigan kind of does what they call their big shout-out. So Dugans from Eastern Michigan had a shout-out to Kent State. And he said, I just want to give a big thanks to Kyle and the guys for hosting us Friday. Kent State was able to get the win 3-0 in 4 games, but overall we had a great time. Playing an NCDA regulation game and then playing some fun games mixing in with Kent State. First, our new guys got some great in-game experience, had a good time even with the loss. Second, our veterans still got a great wake-up call not to take things for granted. Finally, we need more of our team to stick around next time because the 5 of us who crashed with Kyle had an amazing night. And again, we're not going to go into what happened. I'm assuming they did each other's nails, watched movies and such. But it's really cool to get these kind of big shout-outs things because it gives everyone on the forums a good idea of kind of how it went. And one of the things I always that I really like from like this Eastern Michigan thing is he talks a lot about how even after the game, they stuck around and hung out with a lot of the Kent State guys and kind of got to, you know, chill with them and actually stayed the night. So it's cool to see that it's not just like 2 teams show up, play each other, and then leave. They're actually staying, you know fraternizing a little bit.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Kent State and Eastern Michigan both on that win. What we've got next is the Michigan State University Invitational, which consisted of Michigan State, University of Kentucky, Eastern Michigan, DePaul, I believe.
Yes.
Bowling Green State University. Which one am I missing?
Western Illinois University.
Western Illinois University. There we go. So obviously a really big invitational that was on Saturday, November 13th.
Yep.
Yeah. So
this is the one that Western was supposed to attend, but couldn't get the player commitment for.
It was a bit of a drive for us.
Yeah, and after reading this, I'm really sad that we did miss it because it sounded like it was a great tournament.
Yeah. So we have, I believe, a recap from Sam Hiller about that one. So what did he have to say?
It starts off with Sparty on. Michigan State University won the 2010 MSU invite, their first in school history. The Spartans came out of Pool A undefeated after knocking off DePaul 12-0 and Bowling Green 4-2. In the finals, they faced Western Illinois, whose captain, Tim Wohead, boldly proclaimed would go undefeated at the MSU invite to keep their perfect record intact. WIU got there by undefeated both. They got there by defeating both Eastern Michigan and Kentucky in two close matches. However, the Spartans provided to be too much for the Leathernecks to handle, especially the power arms of Andrew, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that last name, and Andy Malnar. MSU won convincingly over WIU 7-0 in that final game. Captain Ian Childs said that his team's play was great, and I am very happy that we were able to come 3-0 out of this, but we still have a lot of work to do to achieve our ultimate goal of winning the NCAA title. In the other games, Bowling Green State University was able to shut out DePaul 7-0 in the third place game, and they defeated UK 3-2. The Falcons may be the most improved team in the league so far this season, and they certainly look to be a possible favorite to win the Ohio Dodgeball Cup this winter. Eastern Michigan got blanked by Kentucky 6-0, but defeated DePaul in what was probably the most I was missing a word here, but I guess it was like the closest match in the tournament, 3-2. In that game, what's up with all these weird last names?
It's Michigan.
In that game, Mike, some Polish name, for DePaul, single-handedly took down 8 Eagles on his own.
Wow.
Which tied up the game 2-2 before Eastern was able to pull away from DePaul with a good 3-2 game with around 3 minutes left. Then he just goes through and he kind of analyzes each team and kind of gives them his kind of take on them.
Oh, we read all these?
Yeah, man.
Oh, cool. Oh, I just lost it. Let me scroll down. And again, this is the kind of stuff we're looking for. All right, Kentucky. University of Kentucky looked very good, especially number one. They also have a few sneaky players. Another player who throws very hard. He says he thinks it was number 8. However, their offense seems to be based around number 1 and his howitzer of an arm. He can't play to his full potential, though, because he can't go far enough up to the opposing neutral zone because the rest of the Wildcats team won't block for him that far up. When he goes down, the team loses the vast majority of offense. They also said that they play better in slower games, so the fact that the average game length was 7 minutes and 15 seconds, Bomas' math, not mine, shows that this team could be better if they could slow the clock down a bit. That was actually something that we noticed playing UK.
Yeah.
And this is great to see. This is what I've been wanting to happen for years, is each team kind of develop their own preference, their own kind of way they want to play.
Then he goes to analyze Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan is 10 times better than they were last year. They won their last game in the tournament over DePaul in a situation where a lot of teams would have folded, blowing an 8-1 lead in a point, by which they stepped up and solidly took the next point. And by that match, their new recruits are solid, and even their veteran players seem to take the new step to the next level. They also took points against Western Illinois and Saginaw State the day after they played in the MSU invite. So this is the team that could pull an upset later on this season.
All right, Western Illinois. From what I've been told is that the team was undermanned and was missing some key players, but even with that fact, they were a very dangerous team. Don't let the 7-0 score in the championship game be a total factor in your judgment. They played very well against Eastern Michigan, scoring 5-1, and University of Kentucky scoring 5-3, and have some solid throwers on their team. What killed them were team catches. State got a bunch against them. And they didn't really get that many catches themselves, from what I can remember. Also, the lack of depth really hurt them. Not sure what he means by lack of depth, but again, I guess just, you know, maybe, what's the word I'm looking for? Fundamentals. There we go.
Yeah.
Once Michigan State University got some of their good players out, it got easy really fast. But I'm sure this has to be a result of being undermanned. And that's another big problem you run into as you play multiple games at a tournament. A team gets a chance to scout you out and figure out, you know, who to go for. I know at the Kentucky Cup, we were scouting out UK, saying, like, don't throw at that guy. He's their catcher. Get these two guys out. Those are their big arms. I'll run through DePaul real quick.
Okay.
DePaul, one of my personal favorites. Jack Attack, love you, man. DePaul is the team that is the most fun while they play, obviously. But they're also a pretty talented team this year. They almost took a point from Michigan State, and they almost beat Eastern Michigan as well. And they're a team that survives much better than most.
They're extremely hard to close out, which everyone knows that. So it's incredibly annoying. They just don't really have any power throwers. But I don't think they really care because they're not playing for wins or losses like most of us are. I wish we could all have a little bit of DePaul. Everyone needs their own Jack Attack. Yeah. He's just... He keeps it fun, that's for sure.
You know he's gone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so sad.
It is so sad.
Jack, we miss you.
But DePaul's always going to be that team. Like, you can't get rid of what
especially
Jack
with Zygmus
saying.
As their leader. God, he is the funniest dude I've ever seen on the dodgeball court.
With a name like Zygmus, how could you not? Or what does he call himself?
Zygmeister.
Zygmeister. God, that's awesome.
All right, well, Bowling Green State University really surprised Sam Hiller at this tournament. They might be the most improved team. And they have some pretty solid throwers, like number 45, and some good catchers. They really pushed us, and we only beat them 4-2. By us, I mean Michigan State. I'm reading Sam Hiller's words exactly.
No.
In one of those points, we had to come back from a 4-8 hole, too. BGSU also beat UK in a very close game, 3-2, but I didn't get it to see it because most of us had to referee the EMU-DePaul game. I wouldn't be surprised if BGSU won the Ohio Dodgeball Cup just because it's them, Kent State, who's decent but not great.
Once again, not our words.
Miami of Ohio, who haven't done much this semester, and Ohio State, who's an enigma in the early season because they haven't played yet.
Yeah, so they're just like sandbagging it. I guess, is this our last one?
Yep.
Yeah, so Michigan State. Who won the tournament, so this should be interesting. And again, this is from their perspective, not ours. We played like garbage our first two games, but really played inspired dodgeball in our last game against Western Illinois. Our first two games we played like individuals, and we didn't really play well. Then we played hard like a team against Western Illinois, mostly because of a great speech by Captain Ian Childs, but also because we were fired up because of Western Illinois' trash talk. Ooh. We threw together, blocked for each other, got team catches, etc. That was the main difference between why we won 7-0 and not, say, 3-2 or something like that. If we play like we did against Western Illinois, then we're probably one of the top two or three favorites for Nationals. But if we play like we did against Bowling Green, then we're nowhere near that good. Some other stuff that he kind of mentioned from that tournament. Using stopwatches for the shot clocks was brilliant. God, why has no one thought of that yet? It made us play on actual seconds, thus making the games go faster and really made the games more exciting. There were no refereeing complaints either. It made for a fun, enjoyable, easy tournament for everyone, I think. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
It's good to hear that, because like I said, I feel like the Kentucky Dodgeball Cup went really well. It's good to hear that some other teams are having some luck as well.
I'm just going to kind of run through the scores real quick of that game in case you didn't catch all that. Western Illinois beat Eastern Michigan 5-1. Michigan State beat DePaul 12-0. Michigan State beat BGSU 4-2. Western Illinois beat UK 5-3. BGSU came over DePaul 7-0. UK beat EMU 6-0. Eastern Michigan beat DePaul 3-2. Bowling Green State University beat UK 3-2. And Michigan State University beats
Western Illinois
7-0.
Yep. So, again, congratulations to Michigan State, not only for the win, but also for apparently putting on a pretty good tournament. So it's glad to hear that went well. I always love hearing that. We're going to take a really quick break because I got to pee. And then we'll be right back with the rest of our wrap-ups.
Hey, Dodgeball Nation. Big Giant Head here. Wanted to say thank you to Alex and Felix for the best episode of Average Joe's podcast we've ever seen. Seems like when there's a little less ego in the room, things actually get done. Newton, good luck with your herpes, man. May you all have a Merry Christmas. Jazzy out.
And we're back. We're finishing, or I guess we're going to keep going. I don't know if we'll finish it in one take, because sometimes we mess these things up and have to do multiple takes. But we're going to keep on going with our recaps. The next one we've got is the Western Kentucky University versus U of L game, I believe, played at U of L.
Yep.
When was that?
It was on the 14th of November. That's Sunday.
Yeah, so that was the day after the Michigan State tournament, right?
Yep. This is U of L's first game of the season. They're not a new team because they've been around for 3 years.
They kind of are a new team.
But the thing is,
they restart the team.
Yeah, that's the thing. They just have to restart their team every year. First, they started with John Desaunier, who created the team and then left.
Yep.
So everything folded. Then it was Ben Sobchak.
We won't even go into what happened there.
Yeah, so he built the team up. then dropped it. Well, he dropped
a lot of stuff.
And then now it's Austin Marshall, who's really done a really good job with U of L this season. So I'm interested to see how they turn out.
So what was the final score?
Western Kentucky beat U of L 5-2 in this one.
I didn't get to go to this tournament because of student teaching. But I heard from multiple Western players that there was a little bit of an Italian Stallion meltdown. What happened there?
The game was getting ridiculous. I don't want to bash U of L, but it was... We always going into the game thinking that we're going to beat U of L. Because they are an experienced team, and we practice 3 times a week. We're very dedicated. So we came into this game way too cocky. I'm just going to go ahead and say that right now. And we got up on them 3-0, and then we end up losing 2 points to them. It was 3-2, and all of a sudden, we were down 4 against their 8 players, and they just kept getting catches on us because we were doing solo throws, and players were throwing by themselves had no business at all throwing by themselves. So I called a timeout, screamed at the team, top of my lungs.
Had a Bobby Knight moment?
Yeah, I was throwing things, but some parents actually, like, they're talking to the players. They're like, hey, I don't think he wants you guys to throw by yourselves anymore.
Oh, man, when the parents start saying something, you know it's...
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, but you know what? After that, we end up winning that point and winning the rest of the game.
And I know at the Kentucky Dodgeball Cup, I heard, because like I said, I wasn't at this WU of L game. I heard a couple of our players doing almost like a Remember the Alamo kind of thing. If it looked like we were losing a point, they were like, don't lose a point. Felix will get back up and start yelling at us again. So you made an impression.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a chill guy. When I yell, something's going wrong.
But congratulations to both WKU and U of L. We'll talk a little bit more about U of L here in a minute. I'm incredibly impressed by their team.
Yep.
Considering all the kind of hardship they've gone through in the last couple years,
they only came to that game with 12 players, and they needed 3 more, so they pulled some guys that are U of L students off the basketball court, and we're like, hey, do you guys want to play? And actually, one of those guys ended up being really good, and he came to the Kentucky Dodgeball a couple months later.
Awesome. But congratulations to U of L. It's nice to see that despite all the hardship, y'all are still keeping that team going. And for the love of God, keep it together till April, because we have to have a good Kentucky showing at Nationals. We can't have us host Nationals and only have 1 or 2 teams from Kentucky. So what do we've got next? We've got Eastern Michigan versus Saginaw Valley.
Yes.
Eastern Michigan at Saginaw Valley. I believe this one was one day after the Michigan State invite.
Yeah,
correct?
This is on the 14th, and the Michigan State invite was on the 13th.
Same day as the WKU game.
Yep.
Boy, ESPN would have known what to do with this. They'd have had to have ESPN and ESPN2, all that coverage.
Ooh.
So it was Eastern Michigan at Saginaw Valley. Final score, Eastern Michigan 1, Saginaw Valley 4. So what do we got about that bad boy?
Pretty much, this was... Eastern Michigan had committed to a game at Saginaw Valley months prior to the MSU invite, but MSU needed an extra team to come fill in, and because we dropped out. And so Eastern Michigan was like,
sorry!
Eastern Michigan was like, hey, we'll do it, we do it. So that happened. And Jeremy Dugans from Eastern Michigan kind of wrote a big thanks to Saginaw Valley, which, as Alex said, he kind of does most games.
Which is so nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
He says, I did this one for Kent, and I just wanted to do the same thing for you guys. Great job running the game and letting us come warm up to play. Mixing up things a little bit after, etc. It was nice to not totally get our heads taken off, but get another good match of dodgeball in. I was hoping to keep it under 10, and the final score, 4-1, was very impressive to me. I'm very happy how my team performed, both on little rest and with a couple of guys missing for various reasons. I would love to play again, and while I know our 1 point came against the second string, you did sub in your best, who I felt was a little good, big smiley face. Anyway, great job, and good luck the next week against Grand Valley. So, I guess the game went pretty well.
It sounds like it. And when we get into our issues section, Dugan here is like how we wish everyone could be. It's nice to see, because obviously when you're playing a game, I'm sure when Eastern Michigan was playing Saginaw Valley, there was a little bit of, and there's always a little bit of aggression, because like we've said hundreds of times before, it's a very aggressive sport. But the fact that someone like Dugan can, after the fact, even after losing, come on and post something so polite and so nice about the other teams, that's nice. And I wish that all the teams could get on like these, like Dugan seems to get on. Unless he's inwardly just seething at everybody. but it doesn't seem that way.
No.
So congratulations, Saginaw Valley, on that win. Eastern Michigan, I mean, getting 1 point against Saginaw Valley one day after playing a tournament, kudos.
Yeah.
So good on you there. Next up, we've got Kent State at Ohio State. This one was a close one. Final score, Kent State 1, Ohio State 2. I believe those are two other teams that tend to have slower mm-hmm. playing styles, kind of like when we talked about with UK earlier.
I would love to see a matchup between UK and OSU because they both play very slow styles.
Yeah.
It's and OSU, of course, is the catching team.
God.
So
Kentucky's got some good catchers,
yeah.
too. So Kent State and Ohio State, Fitz from Kent State has a little write-up for us, so we're going to run through that.
So our second match of the season was away game against OSU. Something that tells me this is going to be the first time in many we play OSU since it was such a great game. We lost 2-1, and when we decided to play out the final point, and that one could have sent us into overtime, Kent came out on top 45 seconds after regulation ended. I was very proud how our team stepped up against OSU, considering how we were obliterated last year by them at Nationals. I think our success was partially due to OSU's dodgeball shaking off their rust, since it was their first match of the season. But the other contributing factor was that some of Kent's younger players truly stepped up their performance during the match. It was very well recognized that we would not have to, that we would have not won the second point if for rookie Mitch Maleo and his multiple catches against some of the quality players for OSU. OSU seems to be making a seamless transition between managers and excelled in group throws and controlling the corners and neutral zones. My only criticism towards their playing style is that it was too organized and could get some originality to mix things up. Again, after the match, there was plenty of times to mix up the teams, and after the post-match, OSU was generous enough to house Kent for a very enjoyable night in Columbus.
Which I assume was probably Bible reading.
Yeah. And
s'mores.
Stratego.
Oh, God, I love Stratego. All right, keep going.
That's pretty much it. Kent's,
okay, cool.
Yeah, Kent has a little bit of a write-up about how their team's going, but basically he's just saying that they are stepping up, and they hope to... Oh, God. Okay, it seems like they have acquired a radar gun for $11.
Wow.
And when I was looking at radar guns, the cheapest one I found was $80. He said its accuracy is still questionable, but it puts the throws in perspective.
Say, clocks a grippy throw at 128.
So,
but I mean, for $11,
yeah.
If it's within 10 miles an hour, you've made you. It was good money.
Yeah.
So. But again, congratulations to both teams. We love these write ups. So each team pick someone to do kind of what Fitz is doing. Have someone just jot down notes. Give what you think, how you think your team did, how you think the other team did. These are the kind of things that are going to make the league better, because if you can read about other teams, it's going to allow you to develop a lot of strategy. And this is one of the things that helps teams come together. When you read a write-up like that, it's very obvious these teams got along.
Yeah.
Coming up next, I don't think there's really, even though this is a huge game, I don't think there's a whole lot to say about it. Grand Valley State University versus Saginaw Valley State University, the Clash of the Valleys. We're good. Okay. This one, just, again, we've been saying it for the last 3 years, and I think it's finally happening. Grand Valley State University, 0. Saginaw Valley State University, 3. It's going to happen yeah. this year. For the love of God, Saginaw Valley, you've made me look like a fool for 3 years. win one so I can finally tell everybody I told you so. And like I said, I had to get a drink. Is there really anything big from that game to mention? I mean, it's the two powerhouses. I know there's a little bit of action on the forums. I would suggest people get on the forums and read this stuff up.
Saginaw Valley was definitely the underdog. They only had 44% of the votes on the poll question on who would win.
Yeah.
So,
out of the 18 people that voted. But we're not... Yeah.
That's like when people ask how big is the league. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you just kind of like, you know, there's a bunch of... whenever someone asks how big the league is, I just tell them all the states that are involved. And they're like, oh, that's a lot of schools. I'm like, well, and they assume it's every school in the state. So I just let them assume that.
God, whatever. I don't know how to say all these last names from Michigan. Why can't you just have regular last names?
Because they're good wasps. These Anglo-Saxon people straight over from Sweden.
Someone from, I don't even know what team they're from. I think it was Saginaw Valley. Yeah. They said that Saginaw Valley beat Grand Valley 3-0. It was an excellent game, well fought on both sides. It was the first time in the club history that SVSU has beaten GVSU.
Woo, congratulations.
And what a win it was. We know the school paper was taking pictures and whatnot, as well as a bunch of people. So there's going to be, I guess, pictures and things that have yet to come out. But it was one hell of a game, and they can't wait to do it again.
Awesome. Well, again, congratulations to both teams. It's finally happened. Saginaw Valley has beat Grand Valley State. So what I've been saying for the last 3 years is a little belated, but still terribly true.
Yeah.
So congratulations to both teams. We're coming down the home stretch with our recap. We've only got a couple more left. This next one is the big one. Our issue section kind of stems from this.
Yep.
Central Michigan and Michigan State University playing at Saginaw Valley in a triple header. Saturday, December 4th?
Yes.
Our outcomes were Michigan State University versus Saginaw Valley. Michigan State 0. Saginaw Valley 4, Central Michigan University versus Michigan State University, Central Michigan 4, Michigan State University 2, and finally, Central Michigan University versus Saginaw Valley, Central Michigan 2, Saginaw Valley 0. Congratulations to all teams.
Yep.
But we had some major problems come out of this tournament, and this is the kind of stuff that's going to hurt the league as a whole. Just reading through some of the stuff on the forums, it's getting a little ridiculous. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But Felix, I guess, did you have something to kind of say about this tournament?
This game was a problem before it even started. A player from some team was kind of outing that another player on another team was not a student at the school. Said player was not planning on playing in the games, but had been kind of leading everyone else on, saying that, not that he was on the team, but that he never announced that he was not going to the school anymore. So right off the bat, this is starting a big fight, like, hey, you're not doing this. He's like, I never said that, blah, 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 blah. But also, I feel like this game was almost the downfall of the league, and it really kind of irritated me just reading everyone's posts, because it's the internet etiquette that everyone needs to kind of watch. It's not, you can't call players out by name.
No, the biggest problem in having a forum is trolls. And reading the forum posts on here, there's three or four people where all they're doing is just trying to stir stuff up.
Yep.
It's very obvious who you are. When you post something that's insulting and put ha ha at the end of it, you're very obviously not joking. You're being a dick.
Yeah.
It's incredibly immature. To be perfectly honest, I think if we shut the forums down, it would keep this from happening. But shutting the forums down is going to hurt everybody.
Yeah.
A lot of teams don't realize, especially the ones that aren't from any of these three schools or aren't on the forums a whole lot, don't realize how close this got to actually shutting or basically getting the league to just stop existing.
The thing that really irritated me the most was Jack Attack. Like, he graduated last year from DePaul.
Again, one of my favorite people ever. Yeah. I have a poster of Jack Attack in my room.
It's true.
I do.
It's kind of weird, but, you know. Anyways, he got on the forum for the first time in a while. I guess one of his players kind of tipped him off about how things are kind of brewing. And he got on there and just said how embarrassed he was to even say that he was a part of the league, just based on everyone's behavior.
And to embarrass someone from DePaul is a pretty big deal. But Jack Attack, like you said, made an amazing point. And he basically said, you know, guys, this is ridiculous. He said everyone, and Felix kind of said the same thing. He said everyone just needs to grow up. Yes, people get frustrated at the games. Yes, you run into problems at the games, but leave it on the court. And even then, what you do on the court, be mature about it. But what's been going on the forums, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more, I don't want to beat a dead horse, was a little ridiculous. But Jack Attack, everyone should look to what he says and look at how schools like Kent State treat each other.
Yeah.
That's the way these teams should be interacting.
We're not saying that like you shouldn't be competitive, because I love the competition. I mean, that's just what makes the dodgeball like great. But at the same time, you need to leave it on the court. This isn't going to... It's not helping anybody by taking it off the court and going back and saying, hey, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. Kind of, you know, everyone just needs to be nicer and be like, hey, Western Kentucky, good job on hosting that tournament.
Yeah.
There were some problems with the referees, but you'll fix it next time.
Yeah,
I know you will.
So we'll talk about that here a little bit more in our issues section. So let's keep going. We got two more to go over.
Yep.
Obviously, the most important one is the Kentucky Dodgeball Cup.
Yeah.
Beautiful trophy. Amazing location. If you haven't seen Bowling Green, Kentucky, get ready for Nationals, because, oh my God, it's beautiful. The second highest restaurants per capita in the United States behind Los Angeles. And no one else can say that. That's us. Yeah. We've got that. So, oh God, y'all are going to be so excited. It's going to be great. The Kentucky Dodgeball Cup consisted of the three active teams in Kentucky. Western Kentucky University, who played host, University of Kentucky from Lexington, and University of Louisville from Louisville. All three teams came down. It was a great day. I feel like the games went great. It was incredibly competitive, I felt. Western Kentucky came out on top, of course.
Yeah.
Woo! I loved that tournament. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
I had a blast.
It was a good way for you to go out.
Yeah. That was my final tournament, I guess. I'm graduating this Saturday. So I'll still be in Bowling Green because I don't have a job. So I'll still be around. I'm definitely going to be here for Nationals, but that was a good way for me to go. And got a couple of kills, a couple of catches, which is really bizarre for me. Doesn't happen a whole lot. A lot of people probably haven't seen me. I am not the pinnacle of athleticism. if anyone here has ever seen, like, King of Queens, I look like Kevin James, only... not quite that fat.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not someone that should be playing any sports. Anyways, enough off of me. That game was December 5th. It was on a Sunday.
It was after a big ice storm apparently hit University of Kentucky. So just that they were able to get enough players to drive 2.5 hours through the ice, I really appreciated that.
Yeah. So what was our game order for that one?
Western Kentucky opened up the tournament against University of Kentucky, and they came out on top 4-1. And then it was followed by the UK versus U of L game, and UK came out on top 6-2. And then immediately following was UK's varsity team played our JV team.
Yeah, played Western's JV team, which was a great experience for the JV players. They loved it. Do you remember the score for that one? We lost.
It was 4-1.
Yeah, so, but that was a fun game to watch.
3-1 or 4-1. The first point lasted the entire half.
Yeah.
Malcolm Lunsford, who was a varsity player last year but had to drop dodgeball this season. He ended up just coming back for the tournament, so I let him play on JV. But he stayed in the entire time, and it was him against 5 UK players, caught 3, got one out, and then hung in there for 10 minutes by himself and just caught the last ball to win the game.
It was incredible.
It was just nasty.
And then for the UK U of L game, some of the U of L players made the most amazing catch. And if anyone was on the forums, someone talked about it on the forums. There was a UK player that was up in the neutral zone, one UK player, one U of L player. The UK player had a ball, the U of L player did not. And the UK player went for kind of a chest pass to get him out from maybe 2 feet away. And the U of L player just snagged it right out of the air. And, oh my gosh, everyone went insane. It was awesome. There were a lot of really cool plays from that. There was one, I think, was it Tyler Jury? Or no? Someone, like, threw and hit someone and then made a catch and then dropped that ball and then immediately made another
catch.
That
was Jared Silverthorne.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm so excited about this. That was in the WKU versus U of L game, which Western Kentucky beat U of L 9-0. There's a typo on the website.
Oh, it says 10-0.
Yeah.
9-0.
But, dear God, that catch was so cool. It makes me happy. It was a double catch. He did an awesome, which is the between the legs backwards throw. and then immediately turns around, catches a ball, drops, and catches another ball. We looked at the game tapes, and it was less than a second that all that happened.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Even better was that last point. Because that was a UK U of L game, right? That last point came down to 0.02 seconds, wasn't that the
year? That was our UK.
The very last point of the second half of the WKU U of L game, was it a hit or a catch? I think it was a hit, wasn't it?
It was a hit. Tyler Jury started off. It was three WKU players and three UK players.
U of L.
No, this is UK.
Oh, it was
yeah,
UK.
Yeah, UK done. In the first half, and Tyler Jury catches a ball, takes that ball, throws, hits a UK player, and with 0.2 seconds left.
0.02. No, it was 0.2.
Yeah, it's 0.2. 0.2 seconds left, picks up a ball, launches it, hits the kid square in the balls, and gets the point. So we have a 3-0 lead over UK coming into the second half.
Everyone freaked. Well, everyone on our team freaked out. It was, we have the video of that, right?
No.
What?
I gave Zach Newton one job.
Oh, Zach Newton screwed it up.
I asked him to hit the record button on my camera. Guess what he didn't do?
He did not hit the record button. We seriously don't have that on camera.
No. We had the second half of the UK game because I went over there and turned it on.
I thought there was someone else recording.
Nope. Oh, well, there was, but they told us to move the cameras. So we have one that's only getting the neutral zone, which is my camera, which is an awful angle. Then another one who's sitting right beside it, and he's focusing on the ground most of the time. And then there is one more camera, but I can't find that footage anywhere. I can't locate the kid who's taking it. So
we've got to find it, because that was awesome. But again, congratulations to all teams that were involved. Western did come out on top there, but it was great to get to see how well U of L's doing and how great UK is doing. And I'm really hoping that both those teams can make a showing at Nationals.
Yeah.
And we're going to, I think, talk, maybe not this time, but at some point in the near future, about how we're going to be doing registration for Nationals. I think it's going to be a little chaotic, everyone trying to get registered.
Yeah.
So we'll see. The final game we have to talk about, we need to get through this quick because we're rambling on. Michigan State at Eastern Michigan. Luckily, we don't know anything about this game.
I didn't know that it was actually played.
Michigan State 4, Eastern Michigan 1, so congratulations Michigan State, but we literally have heard nothing else about that tournament.
Nope, that was played on December 5th, the same day as the UK, or the Kentucky Dodgeball Cup, but we don't know anything else about
it. So that's an example of why you need to forward us something, because we have no idea what happened. There might have been, you know, the most amazing point in college dodgeball. So that wraps up our recap section. It's been a long one, but like we said, we had a lot of stuff to cover, but I feel like this is the important stuff. This is the stuff we should be talking about.
This is what you asked for.
Yeah. And we've had a couple people on the forums that were kind of like, your podcast is the opposite of entertaining.
That made me sad.
Yeah. Jerk, let's see you make a podcast and make it interesting. One of the big problems, and here's my opportunity to sell you something, is that after like episode 9, we were out of stuff to talk about. There's not a lot of stuff going on in dodgeball. So, for the love of God, if you want to be on the podcast as a call-in, let us know, because we're desperate for information. This is like at the end of every episode of Dirty Jobs, where he's like, we need more Dirty Jobs. We need more dodgeball stuff. So, give us dodgeball stuff. Coming up next, we have our issues section. We've got a decent amount of stuff to go through. So, stick with us. It'll be worth it. If you need to, you know, pause and come back tomorrow and finish up, that's cool, because like we said, this will be a long one. But we're trying to cover all the really important stuff, because from here on out, we're going to be doing a lot of Nationals previews. I would like to start talking to some more team captains, do some more stuff talking about some team strategy, some practice methods, things like that. So coming up next, we have the issues portion. We're going to get into that. Other than that, this is Average Joe's podcast. What was I trying to say there?
This is dodgeball.
Yeah, there we go. So let's do this.
Now focusing on a specific dodgeball issue.
You guys suck!
After termination is completed.
Alright, we are back. You don't have to listen to us quote a bunch of dodgeball statistics anymore. We're done with that part. We're all caught up, so from now on, hopefully we won't get that far behind again. I feel like we covered an entire semester worth of dodgeball in one episode.
Yeah, there's realistically only a month and a half. There's just everybody wanted to play, which
that's good.
Yeah, it's good.
And I loved seeing there were so many games on like the same day.
It seems like we just need to do the podcast more often.
Yeah, some people might not think that.
Nope.
So what we're going to get in today is the issues section. And this issues section is not going to have a lot of Tom Brady. We kind of talked about this a little bit before. There's some problems going on in the league, which there's been problems going on for a long time.
Yep.
Specifically, we're going to talk about a couple of those. The big problem that we're talking about now that kind of stemmed from that Saginaw Valley Invitational game, that big problem had a huge effect on college dodgeball. That huge effect came in the form of Alex Bomas. So what happened is basically on Saturday, December 11th, and we talked about this before, Alex Bomas announced his departure from the league. Alex Bomas sent a letter out to all of the team captains. Felix kind of has a, not really a summary, but kind of some of the high points of his letter. So here we go.
He says, after much consideration, I've decided to cease my involvement with the NCAA effective January 1st, 2011. This kind of turned into December 13th on a Monday.
I don't blame him. I'd be out of there, too.
Yeah, he kind of just dropped all connections 2 days after he sent out this letter. Did delete his forum account. As you can tell, he's no longer on there. But he says that it was originally his intent to kind of resign after the national tournament this year. But with all the headaches and everything that's been going on the last 6 weeks, he's just done. He says that the league is going to a level that he doesn't want to be a part of anymore. When Bomas kind of first came around in 2003, the league was... I'm not gonna sugarcoat this. The league was a bunch of kids who had nothing better to do other than to play dodgeball. These kids were the ones that you would expect to play college dodgeball. Kids like Bomas.
Or me.
Yeah. So in the 7 years he's been in the league, it's evolved so much. Right now it's to the point where people who played sports in high school are coming in and they're playing this. So athletic people are playing dodgeball rather than it was the unathletic kind of Bomasites. I don't think that really fits, but so he just like, he really hates the sportsmanship. That's a lot of the, what he kind of gets into is how sportsmanship has become almost bipolar. It says that teams are either absolutely loved or absolutely hated, but there's not much in between. The problem, he says, the problem in my eyes is that the hate is what gets remembered by most players. He says that he really wants to solidify the game that he wishes dodgeball can kind of emulate. And that's the game that he saw on December 5th that was between Eastern Michigan and Michigan State. He said no one on the court on either side looked particularly good, and the throws probably averaged less than 50 miles an hour. And that's relatively slow due to, like, the NCAA grip throw that we have now. But he said that everyone was just having a great time. And that's just what, that's what he wanted the league to be about. He just wanted it to be about fun. He didn't really want it to become the ultra-super competitive league that it is today. Then he goes on to just tell about how Grand Valley really revolutionized the game by actually bringing in athletes and kind of making the other teams step up in their recruiting aspects. And he has this picture that he kind of put up in the resignation letter. And in the picture, everyone is laughing. And he said this is what, and this is from years ago, if you can tell, because he still has a full head of hair.
Oh.
But everyone's laughing, and he just wishes that this is how it could have continued, but nobody laughs anymore, apparently.
And so here's his goodbye.
He says, excuse me for laughing. However, just as it is your right to take the NCAA in whatever direction you choose, it is my right to decide not to continue with you on that journey. Therefore, I am doing the one thing I can do in this situation, indeed the only thing any of us can do. I'm taking my ball and going home.
Which is the perfect way to sum
like,
that up.
I don't know, it's cute.
It is cute, because it really is all we can do.
Yeah. Then he goes on to say, like, he doesn't want to discourage anybody from hosting or attending NCAA events.
And then his finale is really poignant, I think. So how'd that finish?
He just says, enjoy these years while you can. There's far too much to worry about on the other side of graduation. And the time to an end that you can truly enjoy spending playing a kid's game is approaching. The best of luck, Alexander K. Bomas. So
it's nice that instead of just kind of dropping off the face of the earth, he actually was professional enough to send, you know, to put this letter out and to kind of pass on the torch. Before we move on, the first thing I want to point out is some stuff off the forums. Again, I'm not going to mention specifics or people's names, but here recently there's been a lot of stuff going on, a lot of aggression and unnecessary anger and really childish behavior directed at Alex Bomis. A lot of people criticizing him, not just his role within the league, but actually criticizing him as a person and making direct attacks to him personally. That's incredibly childish, incredibly immature. You should be ashamed of yourself because this guy basically created the league that you're playing in. You wouldn't be playing if it weren't for him. Everything he's been doing for the past couple years as commissioner, he does not get paid for. He doesn't get any kind of
compensation.
Yeah, any kind of compensation for it. He's doing it because he wants us to have the same experience he had. So a couple of select individuals on the forums who feel like it's their job to just constantly harass Alex Bomis, you're hurting the entire league. And you're making yourself look even worse than everyone else already thinks you look, which everyone really knows who I'm talking about now. I'm just not going to say the name. That was not cool. If you want to do that stuff, get a MySpace. That's what MySpace is made for. So you can rant about the bands you like and the people you don't. To a couple of people specifically, I'm going to be specific here, to Jack Attack. Jack Attack made a perfect point. He said, if you don't like something, shut up and grumble about it or quit. Those are your options. You can do what Bomis did and pack up your ball and go home. Or you can shut up, grin and bear it, and play the sport along with everyone else. It's the same people that caused this huge problem at the Saginaw Valley Invitational that are attacking Bomis. And Bomis left because of those people. And I'm sure those people are going to do a little victory dance and be like, oh, hey, yay. If we don't find another commissioner, or if someone else steps up as commissioner and can't get the job done, then the league is going to go away. So you just got rid of the only guy that was really keeping the league going. So congratulations, you won. That's really my big soapbox moment. You should be ashamed of the way you're attacking someone on a personal level, making fun of them, not because of their involvement with the league, but making fun of them as a person. That's really low. And if the league ends up not making it for another couple of years, it's your fault. You did it. So if you're one of the ones who is constantly complaining, then step up and be the commissioner and see if you can do a better job. I know I couldn't, so I'm not going to try. But I also don't criticize people. So that's about it I got for that. But a fond farewell to Bomis. And, yeah.
Basically what's going to happen with Bomis' resignation, Josh Raymer has kind of been asked by Bomis to kind of take charge of the league until Nationals. Raymer's already just kind of... He's already told everyone that he doesn't want to become the commissioner. He just doesn't want the headache. He just likes being the website guy.
And he's got a lot of stuff. For those of you that haven't kept up with Josh Raymer, he's off working. He's got can we say it on the air?
Oh yeah,
he's engaged.
We did that. Remember we did the clapping. And the congratulations.
We did. I forgot about that. So he's got a lot of stuff on his plate, and at the same time, Josh Raymer kind of echoed a lot of the stuff I just said. He said if you know the commissioner is going to have to catch all the crap that Bomis was catching, then no, he doesn't want to do it. Yep. So we're still not sure who's going to take over in lieu of Nationals.
What we're going to do for Nationals, the only fair way, I think, and I'm just kind of taking charge of this just because I'm kind of organizing Nationals. You guys are welcome to throw your inputs at me. But on the Saturday captain's meeting of Nationals, we will kind of, everyone will announce their candidacy for commissioner if anybody wants it. And then on the Sunday, each team will get one vote, and we'll just kind of vote somebody in rather than appoint somebody like we did with Bomis. Because Bomis, he was more than happy to take it, but we all just kind of expected him to just because he wasn't playing, but he was still involved with the league. So he was already doing the commissioner-type work. But, yeah, like I said, we'll elect this one now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there that Zach Newton already wants to be the commissioner.
Somebody has to step in because it will turn into friggin' a rock of love type league. Just total insanity.
Newton
can't
wants
let that happen.
To do it so bad. He says that he's the only one who gives a blank about this league.
Which is a shame, because it might be true.
I was just kind of thinking, really?
Felix doesn't care at all. But we'll see. But like I said before, we have to have someone that's willing to step into that role. And it has to be someone that's got a level head and someone that's passionate about it. Yep. So someone just made a, my roommate's back and he just made a Jersey Shore quote. Doing a podcast right now, guys. Podcast.
Oh, shut up. It's not live.
Yeah, but it's hard on the internet.
I don't know how to edit this. Noon's not here.
Zach will figure it out.
Yeah, Zach will figure it out.
Just put a jersey.
It's no, we heard the grenades in the hot tub thing. Anyways, now that we've had a little Jersey Shore moment, whoever is going to be the commissioner needs to be someone that's level-headed and passionate, has some management skills, professional writing skills, because that's a big part of it, and they need to be good communicators with all the team captains and all the teams. Someone like Felix.
I wouldn't mind being the commissioner just because I'm going to put an iron fist down and I'm not going to take anything from anyone. But at the same time, it's everyone else's vote, so
yeah,
we'll see.
So kind of the last thing that we're going to talk about before we get into the current standings and the rankings, it just kind of ties back to what we said before about the forums. Let's grow up.
Yep. That's the key.
That's really a good thing to do. And I think maybe the best way, I'm not the best person ever to sum this up. Someone did a much better job of summing this up than I did. And I think I'm just going to let him do the talking in this case. So go ahead and just listen in.
Everybody love everybody! Come on!
If we don't, if everybody doesn't love everybody, you got to get some ELE going. You know, like we said before, leave it on the court. And even on the court, try to be civil, but don't start all these attacks and personal battles and everything on the forums. It's not what it's there for. It's there for everyone to come together, to work together, communicate as teams, and, you know, not really hurt each other.
Basically, what I want everyone to do on the forum, and like I said, this is just me speaking in my personal opinion, I don't want there to be another civil war in the dodgeball that... What we had a few weeks ago was just ridiculous. Everyone was just at each other's throat. I think it was like the highest volume I've ever seen on the forum. At one point, I took a screenshot of it because I was amazed. There were 31 people viewing one thread, which was incredible to me. I was like, wow, 31 people actually care right
now.
Wow. So, people need to stop using names. You can use maybe teams. But even then, you need to use discretion. Maybe be like, hey, UK, the referees you provided for this game weren't as knowledgeable about the game as they should have been. And that'll give them helpful criticism. We need constructive criticism.
Yeah, not the trolling that's been happening so far. And we've said this once before. I don't feel like there's a need to harp on it again. Like, everyone's complaining about the referees and the quality of the officials. That's what we've got. So do what you've got to put up with what we've got. You can't argue with the refs, you can't fight with the refs, especially in this specific case where there was someone that may or may not have been especially aggressive towards a referee. We can't have that. In most cases, they're volunteer or they're paid very, very little. They don't have a lot of knowledge of the rule books, so they've got to kind of learn it on the fly. So we've got to really, you know, kind of back off with how we're treating a lot of the referees.
Just imagine if you were asked to referee handball. I mean, that's a sport that nobody really cares about or knows about in America.
Yeah.
But if you were asked out of the blue to just referee handball, how would you feel about all these players just screaming at you the entire time?
Yeah, like, you don't know what you're doing. And you're like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. You just told me the rules 10 minutes ago.
Now, this will be different. I'm going to go ahead and say for the national tournament, I've already started training the referees that we will have at the national tournament. So the referees will be knowledgeable of the game.
Yep.
We'll have practice under their belt and real game experience. So I don't want anybody getting that feel. But right now for games, like just individual games, the referees probably aren't going to be as experienced as they should be. And that kind of goes with the legitimizing of the league. That will get better over time, but right now we're still in the baby's phases. Going back to the forum, there's a totally different thing between passion and arrogance.
Yeah.
Like, I'm passionate about the game. I'm a little bit arrogant, but at the same time, I know when to stop. So everyone just need to know that cutoff point. Just Because everybody, I don't know if everybody cares, but people are judging you, I guess.
Yeah.
Whenever someone came on there and attacked Bomas, I thought to myself, wow, what an asshole.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. Because Bomas, even if Bomas does something wrong, he's not getting paid. And he doesn't even have an official position. He's helping out because he wants to. So even if he does something wrong, be like, oh, he screwed up. But, he doesn't...
Just let it go.
Yeah, let it go.
Just fly over your head. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
so fine. Think about how you're representing yourself and how you're representing your team. This is kind of like where one player can be the basis by which a whole team is judged. For instance, when I think of DePaul, I think of a whole team of Jack Attacks.
Yep.
When I think of certain other teams, I think of one douchebag that ruins it for the whole team. So you're not just making yourself look foolish, you're making your whole team look foolish. And if you go into Nationals as the team that no one likes, you know, good luck getting any kind of support or any kind of, you know, camaraderie at Nationals. So,
basically what we're saying is just don't be an asshole.
Yeah, there you go.
That's fine.
And it's ELE, just... everybody love everybody.
Yeah.
I guess talk about the Nationals bidding process real quick.
We'll I didn't realize, I thought I had posted this on the forum, and I did just recently, but how we're going to do for the National Tournament, that we're only allowing 16 teams just because of time constraints that we have with the Raymond B. Preston Center. The teams will get a... Certain teams will get a priority bid, which means they have these 2 weeks from March 14th to March 28th. They have until that to send in their player registration and their money. But these teams will be the host team, which is WKU.
Woo!
The final four from the 2010 National Tournament, which would be Grand Valley, Central Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State. The 2011 regular season champions, which will be determined based on the point system that we have.
And the champions, if it happens to be someone that already has a priority registration, then that spot, you know...
That goes to the open registration.
Yeah, it's going to go to open registration.
But the regular season champion will be determined on March 1st, 2011. And then also the winners of the Michigan Dodgeball Cup, the Ohio Dodgeball Cup, and the Kentucky Dodgeball Cup,
which is us. So there's a good example of when... We're the host team, but we also won the Kentucky Dodgeball Championship. So it's not like the Kentucky Dodgeball Cup gets passed down and that registration goes to UK or U of L. Both of them are going to have to get into open entry or open registration unless they can win the Michigan Dodgeball Cup or the Ohio Dodgeball Cup, which is maybe. So any teams that aren't covered under the Final Four from the previous tournaments, the regular season champs, or the winners of the different cups... that goes to open registration, which is going to start on March 28th, 2011. And from there, it just becomes the first come, first serve until 16 teams have registered. This seems a little cutthroat, but...
It's the only way we can do it fairly.
Yeah, it's the only way.
We can't save a spot for Grand Valley just because they are Grand Valley. And we can't save a spot for Bowling Green because they're Bowling Green. We have to do it fairly. So I'm going to give everyone my address and... As I receive the letters in the mail and their postmark date, that's how I'll determine who gets it. And the teams that send me their money but do not get in, I'll tear up the check and let you know.
Yeah.
But
for the teams that do send in their money, if you don't make it in the early registration, kind of keep yourself a little backloaded because, you know, at Nationals every year, there's a couple of teams that the week before figure out they can't make it. So... Just because you don't get in for open registration, maybe keep that on the back burner because you might end up...
Yeah, I'd really appreciate it if nobody dropped out at this point.
Because we've got everything kind of planned down to the minute, and it really depends on having everyone there.
We have... Right now, I was kind of looking over it the other night, and there are 21 active, or air quote, active teams in the league right now. We have the 15 that have played... And I'll kind of go over, like, the rankings so far based on the point system. The point system, for you that don't know, you get 2 points for a win, 1 point for a loss in overtime, and no points for a loss.
In regular time.
Yeah, in regular time. So right now the current rankings are Western Illinois at number 1 with 10 points and 1 loss, and then WKU with 10 points but 2 losses. Then it goes down to Michigan State, who has 8 points, UK, who has 8 points, Saginaw Valley, 6 points, Central Michigan, Bowling Green State University, both have 4 points, Ohio State coming in at number 8 with 2 points, and then it kind of falls down from there with Kent State, Wisconsin, Platteville, and Eastern Michigan. They all have 2 points. And then surprisingly, Grand Valley, DePaul,
Miami and U of L all have 0 points. No wins this season thus far. And then we also have the teams that have not played, like Northwestern State, Northwestern State University, who's from Louisiana.
There we go.
And University of Nebraska-Lincoln, University of Nebraska-Omaha, Kansas State University, Ferris State University, and Towson University in Maryland.
So all of those are teams that haven't even played.
Yeah.
But the open registration, I mean, like Felix said, it's going to be pretty serious.
So everybody needs to get their checks on time. And if you do send me a check, I don't know what I'm going to do about that, actually. If somebody in the open registration sends me a check before the open registration starts, because I can't do that. I think,
We'll have to streamline it a little bit. We'll set up something that'll be very easy for teams to understand, just because we don't want there to be a ton of confusion with the open registration being as close to nationals. And I think one of the concerns might be, you know, why are you waiting to register teams until so close to nationals? It's because every time a team, or every time at nationals, you set up registration for 2 months ahead of time, so much stuff changes. There might not even be a team together.
Yep.
So we're hoping that by moving it a little bit closer, and again, this is still kind of tentative. This could still change. But by putting registration that close to nationals, by that point, you would know with about 90% certainty if you were going to be able to make it to the tournament or not. So, yeah, that'll be important. So we've kind of talked about the current rankings and standings. We're going to we'll talk a little bit more about the nationals bidding process as we get closer, because you all have to put up with us probably, God, at least through episode 20 before nationals. again, this has been a long episode. Maybe you've split it into two parts. Maybe we'll split it into two parts. I don't know, because it's got to be a pretty long one.
We kind of skipped some things that we kind of went over in the intro. We're not going to... We'll discuss the opening rush situation and the knowledge of the rules and the officiating, and we'll just discuss all that the next episode, because I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, me too. And it's still finals week, so we got that to deal with.
And this wasn't a silly fun... podcast.
No. Which is kind of nice to have a serious one from time to time. But I feel like we got through a lot of stuff. But in all seriousness, we've got a couple of things for us to go through during the next episode. But someone needs to get on the forums and give us something to talk about.
Yep.
We haven't done a call-in in a while. We need to have another one of those, just because those are always fun. So even if you want to call in and just talk to Zach Newton about how much you hate Tom Brady, I'd rather you didn't.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice if you could call and tell us about your team, about how your season's going, changes you've made. One of the things I would love to hear some coaches talk about is how you run your practices.
Yep.
Because I know we've changed around our practices a lot this year. What do you do for practices? So either put some on the forums, or if you'd like to call in and be on the show, that's good too.
Thanks to Kyle Fitzpatrick. I don't remember if it's Fitzpatrick or Fitzgerald. Some Irish.
Fitz something. We'll just call him Fitz.
K Fitz. Thanks to K Fitz and Sam Hiller for contributing their game recaps. And also thank you to Alex Bomas for your years of dedication to the league.
Mm-hmm.
We're sorry to see you leave, but I understand.
That was the one final thing that I wanted to talk about. One of the forums that Jazzy started about how we need to come up with an official name for the tournament. I'm thinking starting in 2011, the Alex Bomas Memorial College Dodgeball Tournament. even though he kind of went out at the end of, you know, some drama, I think, you know, he kind of deserves the recognition. So I think the Alex Bomas Memorial Dodgeball Tournament, or the Memorial Collegiate Dodgeball Tournament, sounds fine.
We can melt down the cup and put in the classic Bomas stance. Hands on your hip, no hair.
That's terrible, but true at the same time. So that's my pitch. I think it should be the Alex Bomas Memorial Cup. So let us know on the forums what you think. Get under Jazzy's post and we'll vote a yay or nay on that. But I guess until next time, we'll have something for you next time. As always, Zach Newton couldn't be here. I'm Alex Heichelbeck.
I'm Felix Brony. Hey, and what are you doing tonight?
Oh,
forgot about that.
I don't know. I might watch the rest of District 13B. Parkour movie.
It's very good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It's French, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, Francais. Or I might just go to bed. I don't know.
Yeah. I've got a huge persuasion theory final tomorrow, so I'm going to go study for that.
Jackpot.
That's it. Just us two.
I guess Zach Newton's at his house vomiting or something, so
yeah,
we'll see.
Studying.
But as always, this is Average Joe's Podcast. We will see y'all next time.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Average Joe's podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes of Average Joe's on iTunes or our website, ncdadodgeball.com. Until next time, just remember the 5 D's of dodgeball.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
Bye-bye.